بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the last ruku of Surah Nahl, Allah Ta'ala speaks about Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. And thereafter, the obligation of the Sabbath that was an obligation for the Jews, that they had to honor it, they had to respect the Saturday. In the sight of Allah Ta'ala, the day that was ordained to be the greatest day in the week was the Friday. That was from the time of Adam alayhi salam. This was the ordinance, this was the hukam. Came to these Jews, they suggested to the Nabi of the time that Saturday is the more appropriate day, because Friday Allah Ta'ala completed creation. When Friday the creation was complete, then Saturday should be the day that we dedicate ourselves for worship. So they made a proposal, that proposal was accepted, and that day was ordained for them. Came to the Christians, they also made a suggestion that Allah Ta'ala commenced with the creation on Sunday, the first day of the week. So that means the most appropriate day to be ordained or to be dedicated for the worship of Allah Ta'ala will be a Sunday. Then when it came to the Muslim, and this topic was being discussed as to which day to be ordained for the worship of Allah Ta'ala, then they said, Amanna wa sallamna. It's our duty, we've learnt our Nabi SAW saying, Sami'na wa ata'na. We listen and we obey. Whatever the command is, we don't want to make proposals, we don't want to make suggestions. As Allah Ta'ala says it, let it be. He says, Friday is the day, so we surrender, we submit, we give ourselves. Huwa sammakumul muslimin. On account of this, you earned the title of honor, Muslim. Because what came before you, you accepted. Then you didn't ask why, when, who. You didn't need to ask. All you needed to know and establish that, is this the command of Allah Ta'ala or not? Does this come from Allah Ta'ala or not? Is this what Allah Ta'ala wants of me? Is this what He desires of me? So when they understood that it was the command of Allah Ta'ala, then they gave themselves. All they wanted to know is this the command of Allah Ta'ala or not? Once they've established that, then they didn't need to ask. They didn't need to question why and how and when. They didn't need to ask. Because they understood that asking is not appropriate with love. When you're deep in muhabbat, then you're not going to ask the beloved, why do you want this? And how do you want this? So you're not going to ask. All you're going to ask is, do you want this? Because you are the beloved, and I love you, you love me. So what do you want? All you must show me is what you want. What you want, then my love demands that I must just submit, I must just give in to what you want. And I mustn't ask, and I mustn't question your authority. Otherwise, your love is suspect. There is suspicion in your love. If you are asking too many questions, then means there is some suspicion. There is some doubt. There is some reservation. I'm not clear about your love. Because you're not giving that level of commitment. So, huwa sammakumul muslimin. That Muslim earned that honor, the title of honor. Sammakumul muslimin. Allah Ta'ala has given you that honor, that you are the Muslim. There can't be a greater honor. There can't be a greater title that you can earn. Then Allah Ta'ala is saying you are a Muslim. That you have submitted, you have given yourself to me. So you don't belong to yourself, you belong to me. You're not going to choose of your own, I will select for you. You're not going to make decisions of your own, I will make decisions for you. So you will listen to me. All I need to know is Allah Ta'ala wants this or not. He wants it, then I accept it. I don't want to know anything further than that. I'm in love already, so I don't need to get into the whole debate and discussion, Allah Ta'ala wants this or not. Just I have established that Allah Ta'ala wants it, then let it be. Then I'm not going to ask any other further question. So Allah Ta'ala speaks about Ibrahim alayhi salam. And then he goes on about the Sabbath, because the Jew was ascribing himself to Ibrahim alayhi salam, that we are following the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So you are following the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam had ordained Friday, he had accepted Friday. You have shifted, you have deviated from the cause. Because of your own suggestion, this was given to you. This was accepted. It was accepted as Sabbath, as a Saturday. But this was because of your own request. It wasn't because of the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As per your request, this was given to you. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was a pure, kana hanifa muslima. He had been ever surrendering himself, submitting himself. So this elementary thing, you have moved away from him. Now Allah Ta'ala then directs us, Ud'u ila sabili rabbik. That now that I have honored you with this title, now what's your obligation, what's your duty from now onwards? Your duty from now onwards is to preserve this cause. This is what I have given you, now you have to preserve it. Right? So for the preservation, Allah Ta'ala has kept two systems. See, for the continuity of this earth, Allah Ta'ala has kept certain systems, right? He's got the system of the sun, right? It will rotate and all that. Then he got vegetation. Then he got rain, right? Now all this put together, it makes life manageable. It sustains life. In the absence of the sun, life wouldn't have been manageable. In the absence of vegetation, life wouldn't have been manageable. Rain, there's no life, right? But it is the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala that He sustains everything without all these means. Isn't it in the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala? He can do it. Is Allah Ta'ala compelled? Is He forced to sustain the world through the systems? No. But He will sustain, and He will sustain through the system. Right? He will feed you and He will grant you wealth. And He will grant you your needs through wealth. But does He need to give you your needs through wealth? To money, rents and cents? Well, He doesn't need to give it to you through that. But that's the system that He's made. That this is how you'll get your needs and all fulfilled. You'll get your things accomplished in this way. You need to have rents and cents, and then you'll get it. But He's not subject to that. He's not subjected to this. So He's created some systems for the continuity, for the sustaining of this whole universe. That is the physical dimension. Now look at the spiritual dimension. Like He's got a system for the physical, He's got a system also for the spiritual. But He can do without it. He can do. Nobody forces Him that He needs to have this type of a system for this whole universe to continue. Nobody forces Him. But He's got a system in place that you follow this and things will work out. You open up a business, things will work out, you'll get your rosy. Take up a profession and you will get your rosy, right? Doesn't He make a system? But can't He do without this? He can do without it. You all understand. But He says, no, you'll have to open up a business. You'll have to take up a profession. And then I will sustain you through that system. Right? And you can't dispute it. You tell someone, no, don't go to work. Allah can give without the means. You will consider the person to be an enemy. Won't you think... that he's an enemy, right? He'll be an enemy. He doesn't want my business to prosper. He wants to shut me down. He's giving me all this talk. Why? Because he wants to shut me down. So you feel so indebted to follow the system. It's a system of Allah Ta'ala. He's planned it out. He's programmed it. And you will need to honor that system. Right? Failure of which, then you may suffer starvation. You may suffer poverty. You may suffer difficulties. So you glue yourself, you link yourself to a system. Amongst the systems that Allah Ta'ala has created and planned out, you also link yourself to a certain system. Don't you think that you are above the system? You don't think like that. If you consider yourself to be above the system, really, this is going to be tantamount to pride. You consider yourself, no, I am also subject to the system. If Allah Ta'ala wants you to be absolved of the system, he'll create a situation that you absolved. You don't need to follow the system. Right? Like he creates a system for animals, fish, they don't need to go and learn a profession and a trade and a business. They get the sustenance. For birds, Allah Ta'ala creates a system. So if Allah Ta'ala wants you to be off that system, Allah Ta'ala will create a system that you be off. Otherwise, you don't consider yourself to be off the system. He wants you to be off the system, he will create a situation where you're not dependent on the situation. But of your own choice, you're going to be asking yourself to be removed from the system, then you're asking for trouble. When he creates a system, you won't need to ask any questions. Al-Muqtasim Naraji Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, founder of Darulum Dioban, he requested his sheikh, Haji Imdadullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, that I want to go on tawakkul, just pure trust in Allah Ta'ala. So this business that I'm doing, I don't want to do this business any longer. I don't want to do this, I want to be absolved of this, and I want to go pure on tawakkul. So Haji Imdadullah Sahib Rahmatullah says, Sawal dalila taraddud hai. When you're asking, that means there is some reservation and some hesitation. You're not sure of yourself. Therefore, you're asking. If you're certain of yourself, then you will ask. You are certain that you need to go toilet. You'll ask, must I go toilet? You're certain about it, you'll just go. You're certain that you're hungry and you're thirsty. You don't need to make a mashwara and an istikhara. Must I drink tea? Must I drink this thing or not? Will you subject yourself to a mashwara? No, I'm hungry. I need to have it. You don't ask. So if you are asking, that means you got some hesitation and some reservation. You're not absolutely clear about it. Otherwise you won't even ask. Why are you asking? You're feeling absolutely cold. So you switch on the heater. You may need to make a mashwara about it. You're feeling extremely hot. Don't you put off the fan? Or have an aircon or something. Don't you have it? Now that's natural. When you got that need, you will fulfill that need. You're not going to ask yourself any questions. So he says, questioning is indicative of hesitation, reservation. You're not being clear. So you're not clear. I mean, when you're not clear, that is indicative of some defect in you. There's a deficiency in you. Otherwise, like I say, someone is pressed to go to the toilet, he won't ask a question. Yes, he may ask, where's the toilet? But he won't ask a question, must I go to the toilet or not? He may ask, where's the toilet? Will he ask now, where must I go today or tomorrow or the next week? He's not going to ask that type of questions. It's natural. I need to go and do it. Finish. Taraddud dalile khami. It's not an indication of you having a weakness. So when you are weak, when you are deficient, then to give up the means is not right. You give up and abandon the means when you are so certain that you don't need to ask anybody. You're so certain, absolutely clear about the whole thing. Then you don't need to ask anybody. Then you will abandon it naturally. You will just leave it out. You will just carry on. You're coming into Spingo Beach, right? You're absolutely certain that this is a masjid. Will you ask for directions? You'll ask for directions if you don't know where it is. But you're absolutely clear, 100%, you know where it is. As though you can say, I can drive blind and take the right turns, right? Will you ask anybody for any question? You will ask, so asking means that you're not clear. When you're not clear, then you need to ask. And asking and not being clear is a sign that you don't know the place. When you don't know the place, that means you can't just drive blind. You'll have to subject yourself to a system. Right? So you see this type of answer is coming from a wali. And how Allah Ta'ala opens their mind. That a great, great alim, who people say is like the greatest philosopher of the time, they rank him, these people read his books, they say he's nowhere less than Imam Ghazali, rahmatullahi. Imam Ghazali is like the philosopher of the time. He's in the 7th century, this man is in the 13th century. And they say he's nowhere less than Imam Ghazali. Look at his kitabs, look at his books. His reasoning is so profound. So, for the physical existence and for the physical continuity, there were some systems that were required. And you had to adopt those systems, you had to subject yourself to that system for your continuity, right? Failure of which you can't continue. I ask you, anybody that is sitting here, is he in a position to say that I can go without eating for 3 days only? No eating, no drinking, nothing, absolutely 3 days. Is anybody in that position? Nobody's in that position. Right. So you subjected yourself to that system that means for your continuity. See? You subject yourself to the subject. I need to eat. I need to continue. I need to sustain life. And in order to sustain life, I need to adopt this type of physical means. So you feel so clear about it. You feel so certain about it. Now similarly for your spiritual existence, Allah has created certain systems. And nobody can say that I'm absorbed of the system. Nobody can say that. Like you would say in the physical realm, right? You'll feel that if a person wants to keep himself exempt, he's not right. You don't want to do business, you don't want to take up a profession, he doesn't want to work, what would you say? No, there's something not right. Magaj barabar nima, right? The head is, mind is not right. Won't you say that? You'll say that. So exactly the same, the one that is wanting that spiritual existence, and he wants spirituality in his life, he wants deen in his life, and he wants to avoid the system, then he's equally mad. So now let's come. Allah Pak give tawfiq, just come on the plate. For one in a million persons, it may work out, right? An exception is not a rule. One person was walking on the coast, you know, he was walking on the beach, so he picked up one gem. He went to sell it, he got $10 million, he got, right? So can you make that a rule now, that by you want to become a wealthy person, walk on the coast, walk on the shore? Can you make it a rule? That's an exemption. One person out of a billion person it worked out for, well, it worked out for him, but that's not a rule. The rule is you have to adopt all these systems. So similarly in deen also, you'll find one in a billion persons, thing just worked out overnight for him. It just worked out for him. Right. Our mashayikh say, even if it worked out for him, it was through the blessings of some sheikh, some great awliya, his du'as or something, that just worked out for him. It didn't just come automatic. That person may not know. And even the sheikh may not know that it's because of his blessings that this person is existing. Like the sun, it's radiating light, right? But he doesn't know who is his blessing. Does he know exactly who is blessing? He doesn't know. But everybody is blessed because of the sun's glory. Don't you see it happening? And a small little child doesn't know that it's because of the sun that his life is being sustained. He doesn't know about it. Later on in life, then he comes to his understanding, he comes to his senses and all that, and then he understands that the sun sustains life. So that came later on, afterwards in life. So exactly the same, in the spiritual realm also, it's someone, through someone you're getting things. Someone is that spiritual sun there. And because of that spiritual sun, you are benefiting. But you don't know it's because of that person that you are gaining. You think, no, it's just my chance. Hey, I worked it out. I got it right. I'm the chosen person. Fariduddin Attar, rahmatullahi, my room rahmatullahi speaks about him. That he swam the 7 oceans of love. I'm still struggling in the first one, and this man is gone. He's gone so far. He's excelled. He's gone so far. But what was the turning point in his life? He was a very, very wealthy, rich merchant. Yeah? Pharmacist by trade. In the olden days, you're talking of the 2nd, 3rd century, pharmacists were not like us. They were selling raw stuffs, more or less raw stuffs. Like, for example, they use musk in medication. Right? They use umber in medication, olden day, Hakim's medication. Right? Now, that thing is very expensive. You got a small bottle, 100,000 rand, 200,000 rand, these type of things he's got. And he's got his whole shop loaded with all these type of medication. One person pulls into his shop and is turning his face from one end to the other end. Carried on for about 10 minutes. So Fariduddin Attar is a boss. He's got a mind of his own. Bhai, tujhe kuch lena hai to le lo. You want to buy something, you buy it, otherwise you go. What's wrong? You're looking from one end to the other end. What is this? So this person comes in and he says, you know what? I'm wondering how your soul is going to depart from the body. Because your root and your soul is stuck up in so many commodities. Sometimes it's stuck here, sometimes it's stuck there, sometimes it's stuck in the motor car. Right? Sometimes it's stuck in your investment, offshore or onshore, whichever shore it was. But it's stuck there. Sometimes it's stuck somewhere or the other. It's stuck there. It's rooted inside. I mean, we need to speak true to ourselves. Right? Isn't our heart stuck in all the investment that we have got, the wealth that we have got, the things that we have got? Is it stuck into it or not? It's stuck. It's buried deep into it. We cannot say that our hearts, our souls are not stuck into it. One great king of the time, some of these great kings were all awliya also. We think that all the awliya were only faqirs. Some of the kings of the time were also awliya. One person tried to test him out. Okay, what is the attachment to the dunya? What is his attachment to the dunya? I want to test him out. You get different people now. They all want to test out. I want to see him. What is he? Is this make up a story that he's a great wali? Or really, he means what he says. I want to test him out. So he asked him. Now he's a great king now. Very, very great king. Millions of subjects he's got. So all the intizam, all the administration is on his desk. So he says to this wali, you know what, we need to go for Hajj and I need you to join me. Now he wants to look for the response, you know. He wants to look for the response. He expected the king would say, you know, I got so many things on my desk, so many things I got. How you expect me to go for Hajj? And you know, I need to arrange someone in my place. Someone has to go and run the affairs in my absence. I have to teach him, I have to guide him as to how he must go about doing things. Then I can join you, you know. So he wants to see now what is the attachment. So to his surprise, the king is saying, yes, very good, mashallah, I'm ready, let's go. He said, no, I just want to, just give me 5 minutes, I want to go home, get my stuff and come. He said, bas, ya aapka imtihan to ho chuka. You try to test me, but you are tried out. You are so attached that you can't go without the material. See myself, I got such a big kingdom to run. And I can leave it in one go, I can leave it. I can detach myself and I can move on. And yourself, for a small attachment of yours, small bag of yours, you can't move without it. You're trying to test me. See, this attachment. This attachment, that is what Allah Ta'ala wants. What is the level of attachment to me? Is your mind, your heart stuck into these things or not? Is your mind and your heart stuck into these things or not? I'm just digressing a little bit. We'll come back to the story of Fariduddin Rahmatullah Ali. You know, people speak about death, right? And the in thing nowadays is, Yunus Patel sir passed away in Makkah Mukarrama. So the in thing is now, heat of luck, man, heat of luck. By, look at the criteria that Allah Ta'ala spelled in the Quran. La tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. You die in the state of submission to Allah Ta'ala. In other words, you live in submission, you will die in submission. Kama tahyawna tamutun. You live in submission, you will die in submission. Then the death is a cherry on the top. Right? It's an additional bonus. The man lived like that. When Allah lived like that, he lived as a devout Muslim. So that was a cherry on the top. Now, you're not living as a Muslim. And you got the cherry now, where to place it? You got no top you got. Man hasn't got a topi, where must he place it at? He doesn't have a head, where to place a topi? The topi can be placed if there is a head. If there is a head, there is no head, where are you going to place a topi? It looks so odd, neck is chopped off, you're putting topi there. He doesn't have a head. So the head has to come before you place the topi. So Murada had a head. He was living such a devoted life, Allah Ta'ala knows best. We can't speak about the unseen, but this is our opinion about Mawlana, right? So he had that, and that was the cherry on the top. Now, our side got all sewage, and you want to put a cherry on top. Now, how ugly will it look? How ugly will it look? Won't it look ugly? We look deep within ourselves. Are we anywhere near there? We can't say we are near there. And we can't make this type of statements that, hey, he caught a jackpot. The jackpot is worth the while if the man ran the life as a Muslim. He lived in Islam, he died in Islam, so this is the cherry on the top. فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. So the time and the place is not a criteria. The criteria that Allah Ta'ala demands is the criteria of submission. That is a cherry on the top. That's an additional bonus. But the criteria that Allah Ta'ala is demanding is what? فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Nowhere in the Quran and Hadith Allah says, try and die on a Friday. Did he say anywhere? Really, you know, sometimes I don't know whether to cry or to laugh. I don't know, so many cases like that. People on the life support, you know. And from the symptoms that they describe, I can see now the man is gone, right? From the symptoms that the way they describe. So they come and ask me, you know, today is Wednesday, can you put it off on Thursday night? Now, the reasoning is obvious, right? The reasoning is obvious. That, you know, if the soul will depart, the soul will depart on the Thursday night. But if the soul already departed, he's artificially alive, then what's the need of switching it off on a Thursday night or on a Friday morning? Ask, tell me, what's the need? So it's all artificial. You're making an Islam an artificial thing. So Islam is not artificial, it's real. It's real, it's genuine, it's not artificial. That's Christianity or Judaism where there's an artificial thing. That's not our religion. Our religion is true, it's absolutely clear. Millata Ibrahim Hanifa, absolutely clear. No deviation. This path of ambiguity, etc., is Judaism. It's not your religion. Why must we adopt their path? And when I say ambiguity, and I mean what I say, that they are following and threading a path of ambiguity. Hazrat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had come into Medina Munawwara, right? There was a case of fornication amongst the Jews. At least the Jews at that time had some brains, right? Had some akal at least. When there was a case of fornication, now they trying to work out what to do. Why are they trying to work out what to do? Because the corporal punishment that is recorded in the Torah, in their book, is that criminal must be stoned to death. In the Old Testament, the corporal punishment for a fornicator is he must be stoned to death. Now see how they're playing with the law, you see? See, playing with the law, artificial. That's not us. We are real. We are true. We are real. We don't need any additional support. It's true. Islam is true. Deen is true. Nabi Sassam is true. Right? The Quran is true. Therefore, it has a true effect in you. You don't have to go and advocate about the Quran, Sharif. It's true. It just has its natural effect in your heart. Doesn't it have an effect? Naturally, it just has an effect. Now see how they're playing the law. They are discussing within themselves, what do we do now? We have got a problem at our hands. We're going to apply the Torah, we're going to kill two individuals here. Two people will be beheaded now. Stoned to death. So now what do we do? So they said, now they're making mashwara, shlangrana, conference. What do we do? So they say, no, you know what we'll do? We'll go to Rasul-e-Pak. So they, from within their heart, they convince that he's a Nabi. And they're saying also, Ya Allah, Nabiyum min Anbiya'ik. Nattabi'u Amrahu. We can say in the court of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala, it was a Nabi, you know. And we took the directive of a Nabi. You see the cover-up story. That we'll go to him. Why we'll go to him? Because he's a Nabi. But why do we go to him and leave our Sharia? Because his law is a little bit relaxed. It's not as stringent as Judaism. Judaism is very stringent. Small, small things, haram. Camel meat not halal. Fat not halal. So small, small things now is haram. Your clothes get napak, you must cut it off. So the law is quite strict. Can't fish on a Saturday. Very strict law. And here in Islam there is some concessions. So let's go for the concession. You see now how they planned it out. Now they're rehearsing the whole thing. They're rehearsing the whole thing. And the Quran Sharif has got it in record how they're rehearsing it. They're saying amongst themselves, we'll send a person to Nabi Sassam first and ask, and he will ask Nabi Sassam in a hypothetical situation, how a hypothetical way, you know. Farzi sawal karega. Hypothetical. Yaquluna, see how they're planning that person's mind that is going to go and represent them. يقولون إن أوتيتم هذا فخذوه وإن لم تؤتوه فاحذروا. If this Nabi that you will ask, hypothetical, right? If his answer is conforming, if there is a bit of compromise, you know, discounted, then accept that, accept the rule. But if his law is as stringent as ours, then just abstain. You see that? What is this? It's playing with the law. It's playing with the system. On the one side, now they're playing Torah against the Quran. Now, the fact that they are asking to go to Nabi Sassam shows that they're convinced that he's a Nabi. Na'uzubillah, if he was a fake, right, would they ever opted to go to Nabi Sassam? They would have gone. So they're convinced that he's a Nabi. But now they're worried about the consequence. What's going to happen now? You know, we on our side or the other side. So now they're rehearsing the whole thing. We'll go to the Nabi and we'll ask a hypothetical situation. So we can't be implicated now. You know, if we're going to confess, right, if we're going to confess, that, then that's implication. Now this man did this, so it's going to be an implication. So we say, in a situation like this, what's the rule? Hypothetical. See, the sharpness and the smartness didn't work out for them. Allah Pak says that I disfigured them into apes because of this game, playing of games. The law of Allah Ta'ala, just leave it plain, just plain, simple, and just be on it. If you're doing a wrong, say I'm doing a wrong. Don't try and twist and turn, make laws like this and that. What people are saying now, that there can be a penalty or a deferred payment. I ask you, what's the difference between that and interest? I ask you. You're charging a penalty for a deferred payment. So what is that? Is that not interest? You just rephrase the word. Instead of saying interest, what are you saying? You're charging a penalty on a deferred payment. So what is that? Is that any different? Is that any different to interest? Because interest is an addition against time. You're taking an additional amount because of what? In lieu of time. You didn't pay me on time, so I'm charging you an additional amount. Right? So I remove that word interest and I say I'm charging you, I'm penalizing you because of a deferred payment. So what is it? So this is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't play with it. We rather do that haram and say, Allah, I'm doing haram. And Allah, do forgive me. Then doing this type of things that came from Judaism, from the Jews, they played with the law. And Allah says, because of them playing with the law, that I changed them. I disfigured them into monkeys and swines. Disfigured them. Like they were doing monkey tricks, they became monkeys. See. So anyway, what we're getting at is, we are speaking about this Fariduddin Attar Rahmatullah Ali, then I branched off. And it says, we have to be very clear, very, very clear in our faith. And I went on to say, that some people, it just works out for them. And sometimes it seems as though there wasn't any apparent cause. But there is a cause, but the person, the individual doesn't realize, like a small child doesn't know, that he is benefiting from the glory of the sun. He doesn't know it. But does that mean that he's not benefiting from the glory of the sun? It doesn't mean, if he doesn't understand it, it doesn't mean that he's not enjoying, he's enjoying, but just that he doesn't understand. So exactly the same, many a times we are enjoying and benefiting from the benevolence, from the radiance of some awliya, but we don't realize it. There is some of the sons of Allah Ta'ala, sons, S-U-N-S, not S-O-N, the sons of Allah Ta'ala, whose light is radiating upon us and we don't know about it. We don't know about it. So this Buzurg, the Sheikh, this Wali comes into the shop. And he says, you know, your heart and your soul is stuck up. Sometime in that medication, that's 500,000. This one here is 2,000,000. This one is like this. It's all stuck up. So when he's stuck up so deeply, I am concerned how your soul is going to depart. How your soul is going to depart. With so much of difficulty because it's stuck up. Then I spoke about what Yunus Patel said. Right? Now sometimes people misconstrue a situation. Sometimes they say, oh yeah, what an easy death, what a beautiful death. Allah give us that type of easy. Now we ask for an easy death. We don't ask for a difficult death. But as Aisha radiallahu anha says, I don't envy anybody for an easy death. When I saw what pain Rasulullah had gone through at the time that he was leaving this world. Now how do you reconcile the both? Tell me. People want to become experts in hadith and everything else. Now tell me, how do you reconcile the both? Our mashayikh, Allah Ta'ala, filled the graves with nur over and over again, over and over again. They went into the depths. Allah Pak had illuminated their hearts. So they brought up such beautiful examples and such beautiful illustrations that we can't pay them. For whatever we are with, we can't pay them. All of us together, we can't pay them. So Mawlana says that difficulty that is experienced is because of attachment. What? It's because of attachment. One person is because of material. He is attached to the material. And because of his material attachment, therefore he is having difficulty at the time of death. Because his heart and his soul is stuck up. So the heart is being pulled out. The soul is being pulled out. The heart is so stuck up, so deeply drowned into it. So it has to be pulled out. So the difficulty that is experienced. And Nabi Sassam's Mubarak soul was stuck up into his ummat. بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمِ حَرِيسُنَا. His love was ardent. النَّبِيُّ أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. He's closer to you than your own self. In other words, his love for you is more than your love for yourself. Can you imagine his love for you? So now he's parting from his ummat. Now he's concerned. Meri ummat ka kya hoga? What's going to be the condition of my ummat? So that's causing the pain, that I'm going to part from my ummat. I have to leave. It's the time is decreed, I have to leave. But what's going to happen to this ummat of mine? So that's causing the pain. The pain of an ordinary person and the pain of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That pain, you can't attach a price for that. His concern is about the servants of Allah. What's going to happen to them? And that's the concern of a Nabi. وَإِنِّي خِفْتُ الْمَوَالِيَ مِنْ وَرَائِي وَكَانَتِ امْرَأَتِي عَاقِرًا فَهَبْ لِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيًّا يَرِثُنِي وَيَرِثُ مِنْ آلِ يَعْقُوبُ وَاجْعَلْهُ رَبِّي رَضِيًّا. Zakaria Islam is old now. His bones and all that are becoming infirm. Old hair, white hair is showing, right? White hair is showing. اشْتَعَلَ الرَّأْسُ شَيْبًا. And he's pleading to Allah Ta'ala. And the concern is what? وَإِنِّي خِفْتُ الْمَوَالِيَ مِنْ وَرَائِي. My investment offshore in South America, Argentina got that one there. And this other one here, you know, this property here is giving so much, 1 million every month coming. What's going to happen to it now? And that my son, he's all right, but the grandson, I need to do something for him as well. What these people think? I must only be working for them. What about my grandson? He must go to school, madrasa, all that. He must also be prosperous. What about him? See, where's our figure and where's the figure of that Nabi? The Nabi's figure, إِنِّي خِفْتُ الْمَوَالِيَ مِنْ وَرَائِي. I'm worried about my dependents that are going to come after me. I'm worried about them. وَإِنِّي خِفْتُ الْمَوَالِيَ مِنْ وَرَائِي وَكَانَتِ مِرَاتِي عَاقِرٌ فَهَبْ لِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيًّا. The thing is, I'm gone old now, past the age now. Past that age. فَهَبْ لِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيًّا. But Allah Ta'ala, you are not bound by any limitations. We have got limitations. 70, 80, wickets are over, right? Can't bat any longer. After 80, 90. Maximum 90, maybe Arabs and all, they got additional strength, right? But 80, 90 is finished. Game is over, right? Right? So he says, فَهَبْلِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيَّا. فَهَبْ لِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيَّا يَرِثُنِي وَيَرِثُ مِنْ آلِ يَعْقُوبِ. That, oh Allah Ta'ala, grant me a successor that will take care of the dini affairs. He will take the care of dini affairs after I am gone. Like I am worried. We are worried. Where's our worry? This investment here, that investment there, that investment there, whatever else. That must work. But the greater thing is, the greater thing is the dini concern. And even if we are making something, right, material for deen, I don't say it's not appreciated. It's great, it's appreciated. Allah Ta'ala will reward the person abundantly, right? These institutes and all that, they run upon this type of wealth, right? But what is the greater thing? The greater thing is not the building. The greater thing is who's going to drive this thing. You put up a big, nice, beautiful hospital, but you don't have the type of professionalism. You don't have the type of doctors. You don't have the type of people. What's going to happen to that system that you have got? It's going to be a failure. So the greater thing is to produce that person that's going to run this. More than the building and more than everything else, who's going to run this thing? So fahabli min ladunka wali, Allah Ta'ala, I beg you. You see this Nabi and where his mind is going. So we need to take a cue from my Nabi. More than that accumulation. I don't say don't do it. Do it. I tell you, do it. Whatever you're doing for your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, to the day of Qiyamah, whatever you're doing, do it. I don't mean to insult anybody, right? Someone will think I'm insulting. I don't mean to insult. You do it. Some awliya kiram did that as well. One wali, he asked Allah Ta'ala, O Allah Ta'ala, whatever you're supposed to give it, whatever you're supposed to give me now. Whatever you're supposed to give it to me now. So Allah Ta'ala asked him, Meri razzaqiyat ke upar tujhe yaqeen nahi hai? You don't have the conviction that I provide, that you want everything now? So he asked Allah Ta'ala, O Allah Ta'ala, I have total conviction that you are the Razzaq. I have the total conviction. I got no doubt about it, no qualms about it. But I'm asking you that you give it to me now because when I get up for tahajjud, so the shaitan is putting thoughts in my mind. Khane ka kya karega? Bachcho ka kya karega? Biwi ka kya karega? What you do for your food? What you going to do with your wife tomorrow? What you going to do for your children? So shaitan is storming you with these thoughts. So if you gave me everything in advance, if shaitan ever inserts any thought in my mind, I say, oh, that's it, I got it here. No? So he won't be able to deviate me from the cause. My attention will not be distracted. I'll show him that this is it. So just to secure my mind and my focus, I need this. So to ask for it is not a problem. I'm just joking with you a little bit. But see the diversity between us and the Anbiya. But for weak people like us, we make that provision, I say, do it. And I insist that you do it. Because our weakness is such, okay, if we don't have it, then our iman, we're going to be experimenting with the iman. Our state is such that we're going to be experimenting with iman. We rather keep the thing and not experiment with our iman. We start going, do anything, haram, halal, interest, gambling, anything else, just to get that amount. Won't that happen? It's going to happen. So you rather don't experiment with iman, you secure that, keep that. What you've got, you appreciate it, you secure it, you don't just become like an Alibaba and just spend everywhere, anywhere. You don't do that. No use. You budget yourself, you think about everything. So you're reading your namaz also, your concentration is Alhamdulillah. Allah Pak has given me, Alhamdulillah. You make your ruku, Alhamdulillah, Allah Pak has given me. Otherwise, if you don't have it, Allah Ta'ala, do you provide or not? Why are you not providing? Nauzubillah, now that. Isn't that shaking your iman? Isn't that rocking your iman? Now this happens to people. When they come and confide, then it happens to them. This type of questions do come to their minds. So rather you have it and don't practice upon a mustahab than risking your iman, putting your iman on the block. Rather have it, toss it away, whatever, uplang, whatever, but you keep it away and you secure your iman. Whatever it is, but you secure the iman. Need to secure your iman. Iman is secure. You feel quite comfortable, relaxed. But my only problem is that don't make that the goal. It's not the thing that you're living for. By the way, it's a need. Keep it as a need. Not as a thing. No, no. Everybody has to do it, must do it, have to do it. Don't keep it as a goal. By the way, it's a need. Keep a need as a need. So we're talking about this. That's Fariduddin Attar Rahmatullah Alayh. Hazrat Fariduddin Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he's still the owner of the pharmacy. So this person that walks into the shop and he's telling him, what? I am startled at you, how your soul is going to depart the body. Because your soul is stuck up in so many things, all its commodities is all stuck up into it. How is your soul ever going to depart? Now, you know, when a person is in wealth, you know, then sometimes he feels too much of himself, doesn't it happen? He feels a little bit drunken with that wealth. So in the drunken state, he's replying, what you mean? You know, as your soul will depart, my soul will depart as well. Isn't your soul going to depart? As it's going to depart, it will depart. My soul will also depart. So this buzurg, he says, alright, just give me a place in your shop. He read his 2 rakat namaz, got wuzu and all that, place towards the Qibla. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Next moment he's gone. He's gone. Now this shocked him up. It shook him and it shocked him. Okay, this man was so ready. And he came to pass on a message to me. He was so ready and he came to pass on a message to me. What I wanted to show you is some people, Allah Ta'ala just blesses them directly. See? Directly. Direct blessing. But that direct blessing also must have been because of some goodness that was in that person's system. Hazrat Faridun Attar Rahmatullahi, he must have had some diamond in that, in him. And there was a need for the diamond to be polished. So this man had come to show him, by you, what a diamond, and that needs to be polished, don't waste it. You don't waste it because you got something very, very priceless. And now this is that Fariduddin of whom Mawlana Rum Rahmatullahi says that he swam the 7 oceans of love. And Mawlana Rum is of the 8th century. From that time till now, you know, all the awliya are using his kitabs. So you can imagine now what a great person he must have been for all his awliya to use his kitabs. How deep he must have been into love of Allah Ta'ala for them to use his kitabs. Anyway, what we are talking about is like the physical dimension we need to preserve, right? We need to preserve the physical dimension as well. So in preserving the physical dimension, what is required? 2 elementary things. One is Rijalullah, one is Kitabullah. One is the book of Allah Ta'ala, and one is the men of Allah Ta'ala. You will need the both. You have to reconcile between the both. You can't just isolate one from the other. You'll have to join the both. When I say you can't isolate one from the other, the Jews tried to isolate one from the other. They were saying, no, we've got the Kitabullah. Proud of them. We don't need anybody to come and explain to us. And we don't need anybody to interpret to us. We can interpret ourselves. So they felt themselves independent of the Rijalullah. Why? Because we've got the Kitabullah. We've got the book of Allah Ta'ala. We've got the knowledge now. When we've got the knowledge, then why must we subject ourselves to anybody? We can interpret. We can do as we want. Now the self-interpretation is a very, very dangerous thing. Very dangerous thing. Anybody and everybody can interpret. Who can't interpret? Everybody can interpret. Shaitan also interpreted when he got the command of Allah Ta'ala. You make sajda. I said, no, no. Allah Ta'ala, you didn't get it right. Because the more honorable is supposed to be prostrated. He's supposed to be respected. So I am fire and I'm supposed to be respected. I am older. I need to be respected. So you need to review what you are doing. So Shaitan said that he also used reason. He also interpreted the law. And that interpretation was not wrong. Was not right. The interpretation has gone off the course. So this reinterpretation, etc., if it's going to be open to anybody and everybody, then you can imagine now what a kachumar they'll make of this. What a pickle they'll make of this whole thing. See, what we need to understand is the enemies of Islam, right? They looked for different methods to destroy the Muslims in different areas, right? One place they used war, right? Engage them in war so they can get stuck into that war, they can't come out of it. Like a lot of black countries engage them in war, so you can loot the wealth and their religion, they all get mixed up. They won't have any religion. And another ploy of this was get them involved into theological differences. So they'll get so deep into theological differences that the whole road will be free for us. We can do as we want. All our rubbish, 50 shades of grey and all that, we'll be able to promote the thing. Harry Potter will be able to promote it. Corrupt the people's mind. We'll be able to do it. How we can do it? We'll corrupt them. We'll engage them. Distract them. How we distract them? Engage them in theological differences. But then how to start off a theological problem? How to start it off? It must be such that it must be a can of worms. Like, you know, it can't end. Can't come out. You can't end it up. So the simple way to do it is open the door of reinterpretation, the need to reinterpret. When you're going to open the door of reinterpretation, what are you going to do? Before you had confined yourself to the 4 imams, whatever they interpreted, you took it and you went away. Right? Now you open the door to reinterpretation. When you open the door to reinterpretation, you will interpret one way, he will interpret another way, that person will interpret, and there won't be any limits of interpretation. Everybody's going to interpret in his own way. Right? And when they're going to interpret in their own ways, then they will see for ways that will be conducive to them. Hazrat Yahya explained this, you know, this interpretation, but he explained it in a different way. He says, one alim had come from abroad to meet one nawab, one king of the time. Nawab, leader of that community, came to meet him. So, whilst he was there, he saw that that nawab, that wealthy person, was getting his beard shaved. Right. So this alim that came from abroad, he objected to the nawab shaving of his beard. Nawab said, what are you doing? So the nawab looked at the local alim, the local, how you have an imam or whatever else, you know, munshi sahab or miyaji or whatever, he looked at the local miyaji, whoever was giving him direction. So you look at him, so the local miyaji is telling this alim here, he's telling the king or the nawab, that you know, it's absolutely 100% that you are allowed to shave your beard. It's 100%. That you are allowed to use, you are allowed to shave your beard. Now he's interpreting the law. He says, why you are allowed to shave your beard? You're allowed to shave your beard, why? Because, you see, your hair is very, very thick, very dense. When your hair is dense, then there will be nits that will be going into your beard and all that, right? And this nits and lice, they don't have a concept of nikah and all that. So when they don't have a concept of nikah, they'll be making zina in your mubarak beard. Haram. On your beard, Hazrat Nawab Sahib. On your mubarak beard and zina is going on. You can't allow that. So he interpreted the law, you see. Everybody's interpreting. The door of interpretation opened up. When it opened up, tell me now, can you then show the path easily? Everybody's going to be using his own interpretation. I use my interpretation. He uses his interpretation. Everybody is free. It's free for all. I'll just interpret and go, carry on. But in worldly matters also, has everybody got the right to interpret the law? If you're not a qualified attorney, can you interpret the law? You can't interpret. You can't interpret. So this imam, what they have done, really, it was a blessing. I feel to myself, it wasn't for the imam. I don't know, we have been all lost, all totally lost. Lost cases, completely. Because everybody is interpreting. When everybody has got the right to interpret, and he's interpreting in one way, the next person is interpreting in another way, everybody is free fall. When it's free fall, now can you have a direction then? Now yes, we are doing wrong also. We don't say we are perfect. But at least we have the decency to say, no, I'm wrong. I need to ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. And I'm not going to open this door of interpretation. Because you see the fallacy, the wrong, how you can stumble. How you can make things complicated for your own self? If you were to open this door of interpretation and reinterpretation, how are you going to cause problems? Everything. One group of youngsters, they're under some Islamic Dawah movement. So they are moving from Durban to Joburg. Someone asked them, you know what? It's Zuhr time now. Why don't you stop over and perform your Zuhr namaz? So now they're interpreting also. How they interpret, say, now we don't need to stop for namaz. Because the Quran Sharif says, أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ. You perform namaz to establish my remembrance. What? You establish namaz. Why must you establish namaz? For my remembrance. For my zikr. For my remembrance, you must establish namaz. So now we engaging ourselves half an hour in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, when we engaging ourselves, then do we need to make namaz? Do we need to stop over and make namaz? See that interpretation. With that interpretation, the blessing of that interpretation, you don't have to read namaz as well. You see that how the interpretation, how it misleads. Everybody is open to everybody. Anybody can interpret. Anybody can interpret. Now it's left open to anybody and everybody, and how it takes them off. Completely off. Namaz is gone. other obligations are gone, everything is gone, just with the blessings of interpretation and reinterpretation. So this imams that came about, that I feel that after the Nubuwwat and after the Sahaba Kiram, I can't see a greater blessing for this ummah than this imam. I can't see a greater blessing. Because it kept us all in check. All in check. We're doing something. And we're moving on a straight line. And therefore these imams, they had stood up to the test of time. 1300 years. Imam Abu Hanifa from the past 150. Right? From that time to now is about 1300 years, right? 1300 years this system, it worked. It showed its worth. All over the world you go see any muqallid, any person that's following Abu Hanifa from side, and he's on the cause, he's moving straight. He's good for himself, he's good for others. Tabligh Jamaat movement, who's the forerunners? Who's the forerunners? Again, Hanafis? Darulum Dioban Madrasa, who's the forerunners? Some muqallid, someone that is following an imam. He's following that imam and he's good for himself and he's good for the multitudes, millions. He's good for himself and he's good for the multitudes. And show me those that have moved away and deviated from the cause of the imams, and what service have they done for themselves and for the multitudes? You can't show me the service there. No service. Rather, the service that they have provided is they confuse people. Complicated. Complicated issues. Confused. Right? All the years you were now wearing topi and performing namaz, now don't wear a topi and perform your namaz. That's the service that they have rendered. What other service? The service that they have rendered now, you are reading namaz with your topi now, take out your topi and you can perform your namaz in tops and jeans, alright? What's wrong? This is the clothing, that's the clothing. So what's wrong if you wear this type of a clothing? So that's the service that they have rendered. And these people, the service that they have rendered, they kept at least the surat of iman. The shape of iman, you didn't lose it. You've seen the essence of iman. In their teaching, that essence of iman was preserved. So now, we are talking of two things. One was the Rijalullah. The Jews, they went off. Why? They went off because they ignored, they sidelined, they totally abandoned the Rijalullah. We can go ourselves to the book, we can interpret ourselves. You see, the interpretation we took them. It took them to that point that the Quran Sharif says that they went to the extent of يَقْتُلُونَ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ. They began to assassinate Anbiya, 33 Nabis in one single day. 33 Nabis in a single day they could kill. You know, your body shakes. You hear of a Nabi and a small little disrespect it shows. Even of a Nabi that's gone from this world 1,000 years ago. If there's a slight disrespect, your body shakes. How can a man do such a thing? Yet they had the heart, the Nabi's life, and to go and kill 33 in one single day. That was the blessings of interpretation of their own. They went and interpreted the whole thing. So this is where it led them. So this was the one group that went off. The second group that went off was the Christians. How they went off? The way they had gone off was that they said that the main thing is Rijalullah, the men of Allah Ta'ala. We need religious guides, you know, we need guides. We don't need a book. What we need is a guide. We don't need a book. So we got a guide is enough, but we don't need a book. The book doesn't mean anything to us. So they made the person independent of the book. So as though whatever he says, that is it. Wrong or right, whatever he says, but we will go by him, whatever he says. If he says pork is halal, they will eat it. Now see, every Christian is eating that pork. Whereas their book says that pork is haram. And every Christian is eating that pork. Every day isn't a Christian that says that's worth his name that doesn't eat pork. Right? Their books have got it in record. The Bible, Injil has got it in record. That meat upon which the name of Allah Ta'ala is not invoked at the time of slaughter is forbidden. And every Christian is eating that meat. Upon which the name of Allah Ta'ala is not invoked. But they are doing it. Their books say very clearly, listen, O Israel, your Lord, our God is one. Very clearly. Open, emphatic, categorical, absolutely clear. But they won't go by that clear verse of their book. They will say, no, three is one and one is three. Don't you hear that? You can't be a Christian if you don't believe three in one and one is three. See, so what the book of Allah Ta'ala is saying, they went independent of the book of Allah Ta'ala. So the Muslim is saying, what the Muslim is saying, is this, that we will follow the men of Allah Ta'ala as per the book of Allah Ta'ala. We won't isolate one of the other. We won't make one independent of the other. We will follow the man of Allah Ta'ala, but according to the book of Allah Ta'ala. So no man will be able to change it. He can't come and pretend like an alim or like a buzurg and begin to make distortions in the book. He can't do it. He can't do this. He can't pretend to be a wali and then allow people to come and kiss his feet. Make sajda. As though it's like a sajda, it's like a sajda posture. It's happening. It's happening. Now nobody will be able to distort this deen. There'll be people that will misled, they'll be misled, finish. But the one that has got an iman in his heart, he will know that this is not right. He's not right. Maybe he can't voice himself, but he will see this happening. Oh, this man is prostrating. What he's doing is kissing the feet of the next person. So he's prostrating, it's not right, it's not on. We won't accept this person. Finish. So you will follow the men of Allah Ta'ala, religious people, learned people, as per the book of Allah Ta'ala. If they're going to tell you, like Christianity, they legalized gays, right? So they preached and their papa said, in Rome, he said, no, it's all permissible. What he said? It's permissible. And for your information, I was looking at some statistics. The greatest number of prostitutes is in Rome. Greatest number. You have all this, you know, these clowns you'll have everywhere. This race of clowns you'll have everywhere. But now this shows you what is the hub of Christianity. The greatest number of prostitutes is in this country here. Whereas that's supposed to be the seat of Christianity. But their popes, etc., made such a kachuma, such a pickle of the religion, that the greatest amount of prostitutes are found here. And in Islam, you can't take a try. Can you take a try? You can't take a try. If one case like that is found in Makkah Mukarram, the whole world will talk about it. Hey, one case was found like this. That shows the truth of Islam. You know, they say, you know, a Muslim was caught thieving. They won't say a Hindu was caught or a Christian was caught. Why? Why they say that? Did it appeal to you why they say that a Muslim was caught thieving or womanizing? Why? Why do they say that? The simple reason is, a Muslim is a godly person. He can't do such a thing. And a Christian, Hindu, etc., they are dispatched to Jahannam. They're doing the Jahannam work is alright. But a godly man, he can't do it. I mean, there's no reason for them to say a Muslim did this. A Muslim was caught for this. He was convicted for this. They won't say a Christian or a Jew. You ever saw in any paper, any magazine, a Jew was convicted for murder, a Jew was convicted for drinking or something? Can you say that? But a Muslim, they'll find it. Because they know in their hearts that the Muslim, he is the flag bearer. He is the criteria of truth. So when he's a criteria of truth, he's like the traffic police. So the traffic police is not doing his duty. They'll say, hey, you're not doing your duty. So therefore they're coming onto you as a ton of bricks. So you must say, Alhamdulillah, at least we still, the officers, you still recognize us. We shouldn't take offense to this. But when they pick out on a Muslim, we should never take offense. Say, Alhamdulillah, what you're saying is right, man. We're not doing our job. So the Muslim says, no, we combine the both, we reconcile the both. The book of Allah Ta'ala, with the men of Allah Ta'ala, they will interpret, they will show us, and we'll see the credentials. We won't just accept them. We'll see the credentials, how qualified they are, how competent they are, what expertise they have. They are fit for it, then we will take them on. And not only that, we look at the level of taqwa. You know, are they people that are commercialized, or are they godly people? What type of people? Because Christianity was a sellout. They sold out to the Papa, or they sold out. You ask the Christians, you'll find that by that Papa is more interested in the 10% that he gets on a Sunday. And they encourage him, you must do that. That 10% you must give, by all your gunas getting maafed. You must give that 10%. 10% you must give. How are you going to get your gunas maafed? So they encourage him. So it's a commercialized venture. What else is it? 10%. Now imagine he's got a Kentucky and he's getting 1 million in a month. ShopRite getting 10 million in a month. What's happening? The one papa that is, he's servicing them, how much is he getting? So it's a pure material, commercialized venture. It's got nothing to do with deen. Deen is just, by the way, it's just appeasing the conscience, nothing else. So Rijalullah and Kitabullah, both, a combination of the both. You need the book of Allah Ta'ala combined with the men that are qualified to interpret it. Now you say it's a complete, it's a full house. Now I can go by it. It's an imam, I can go by it. In every zamana, Allah Ta'ala will keep this type of people, this class of people. And the very outstanding feature in them will be, مَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرِ إِنْ أَجْرِيَ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ. He said, I don't want any type of reward, right? People will be giving, but they of themselves, they will say, I don't want a reward from this. I want a reward. I'm doing it for the sake of Allah, I don't want a reward. You won't get any additional favor from me if you want to give a reward. And nor will you be distanced from me if you don't give a reward. You'll be still treated the same. So, it's not a material venture. It's not a commercialized venture. You're not buying out Jannat, you know. Like they're giving the 10% and they're buying out the Jannat. That's what it would amount to. In a synagogue, according to how wealthy you are, you get a place in the first serf or the second first serf. As though Allah is telling you, you know, you are multi-billionaire, you must come in the first serf. You're getting first to Jannat because you are this. So the God is only about money. Really what they're worshipping is money. It's nothing else but money. So Rijalullah and Kitabullah, both. You'll have to have one complementing the other. Now it's a complete path. It's a pure path. It's a clear path. You see, our deen, how pure it is, how clear it is, and how fortunate we are. How much shukr we need to make, how much gratitude and appreciation we need to make to Allah Ta'ala, that He's blessed us with iman. Allah keep us with iman, and let us appreciate this iman, take us with iman.